Masechta Tainis, Daf Yutes Samar Aleph, Tosis Diri Maschil, Loi Tzricha, Da Akun. Just to provide the background in the Gemara that Tosis is commenting on, the Gemara has a diuk in the name of Rav Nachman. The Mishnah had stated that the whole procedure of fast days of 3, 3, and 7 that are described in the first perek is only when rain doesn't come at the right season. Avot Tzmochem Shishanu, in the language of the Mishnah, or in the language of Rav Nachman, Nishtanu, if the crop somehow has some kind of change to them, Rashi explains that they didn't grow properly, that some kind of funny-looking seed came out instead of the regular crop. So then we immediately are Masriyin, which Tosis explains to mean that we right away start full fasting with all the stringencies together with shofar blowing. So Rav Nachman makes a diuk, Avol Yavshu Lo. But if the crops dried out, so then you wouldn't fast and blow the shofar. You wouldn't have Mas'anin or Masriyin. So the Gemara asks, Pshita, isn't it obvious that you wouldn't have the fasting and the shofar blowing in such a case? Because the Mishnah said, Shanu or Nishtanu, Mashma, that not in the case of Yavshu. So the Gemara answers, this is the Ramaschal of Tosfos, Lotzricha de Akun, that it's necessary in the case where the crops were Akun, which Rashi explains to mean that the crops began to grow a little bit, and in the language of the Gemara, Ma'u detayma aknesa milsi kamashmalon. I would have thought that the growing of the crops somehow is halachically significant. Kamashmalon, that it's not. So, in terms of exactly how to interpret this shakal v'tariya, this give and take of the Gemara, Rashi has two perushim, and as we shall read, in Tosis takes sides with one of the perushim of Rashi. So first we'll state the two perushim of Rashi. One understanding of Rashi is that there's no fasting when the crops dry out because fasting and davening is not going to help, because it's going to take an overt miracle to save crops whose plants already have begun to grow and have dried out for them to suddenly be able to produce viable crops. And this is indicative of a theme that appears at the end of Masechta Brachos, and Mefarshim explain it also appears in the Talmud Yerushalmi here in this perek, that we don't daven for mice and nisim. There are exceptions to that rule, but generally we don't daven for overt miracles. And the give and take of the Gemara is as follows. Pshita, isn't it obvious that you don't daven for overt miracles? And it's only in a case where there's some kind of change in the crop, so then already tefillah could help even v'derech hateva in a natural way. But if they totally dried out, you need an overt miracle to save those crops, and we don't daven for overt miracles. So the Gemara answer is the akun, that the crops grew. So Rashi explains that after the crops already dried out, they began to sprout a little more of new growth. So I would have thought that that new growth is an indicator of the fact that now the crops could totally recover, even b'derech hateva, and that tefillah will be relevant here to make sure that that happens. So Kamash Malan did know that aknesa, that the little crop growing, is not indicative of any saving of the crops, and it would still take an overt miracle to save them, and therefore fasting and praying would not really be appropriate under those circumstances. So in a word, Rashi's first shot is that if the crops dried out, fasting and davening would be inappropriate because they would be ineffective. The second shot that Rashi introduces is exactly the opposite direction, that in a case where the crops changed a bit, so then fasting is appropriate. But where the crops dried out, or we should put it this way, where the crops merely dried out, so then fasting and davening are not even necessary, because even in a natural way, they could recover from their having been dried out. So to that, the Gemara says, Pshita. And it's obvious that fasting and tefillah wouldn't be necessary under those circumstances. And the Gemara answer is the akun. So here, it's in the opposite direction, that the plants already began to grow, and the crops already began to form, and that's the akun. And at that point, it dried out. So you might have thought that aknasa milsahi, that the beginning of those crops forming is already something significant, such that when that dried out, so that's it, the crops are gone, The beginning formation of the Tvua of that year has already been destroyed and it's never going to grow again. And the Kamash Milani is no, that just because it grew a little bit and dried out, so other crops will grow and in their stead, or that alternatively that which dried out will sprout anyway. And therefore, there's no need to fast, because even in a natural way, it will grow. Exactly opposite pshat. According to the first pshat, fasting is inappropriate because you would need a miracle to save it. According to the second pshat, fasting is unnecessary because even in a natural way, the crops will recover. It's interesting that what emerges from these two Pirushim of Rashi is that there are three levels. There are times that things can so naturally recover that there's no need to fast and daven. We'll call that the lowest madrega. Then there's the middle level where there's a danger of things going wrong, but davening is appropriate, fasting is appropriate, because it can recover within the natural order, but there's a danger of things going wrong, so one should daven. And then there are things where things are so wrong that it would take an open miracle to save the situation, where generally speaking, again, there are exceptions where fasting and davening is inappropriate. So now, the words of Tosis are as follows. Lo tzricha da'akun, pirish. After they already literally went up in the stalk, which I'm assuming means that the crops already began to grow a little bit on the stalk, nisyapshu, then they dried out. So you would have thought that slight growth is already significant. Pirish, Tosis continue, meaning the ho'el va'olu v'koneh v'lonis bashlu kol tzorkom. That since they already started growing and they didn't ripen totally, and I'm reviewing again what Tosa said earlier, and at that point they dried out. So liboy asra, so they should require fasting and blowing the shofar and calling out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to save them. They should require such intense tefillah. Kamash malan, the love milsi. So the kamash malan is that's nothing. Meaning what? What do you mean that it's nothing? So presumably what Tosis means is that the fact that they experience drying out even after the crops already began to grow a little bit is not something of concern, and the crops can recover and will produce even in a natural way that which they would have even had they not dried out. So it seems clear, and this is noted both by the comment on the margin from Yeshaya Pick, It is listed in the Masoras Hashas, but it's not really a Mokor, but it's the glasses of Rishaya Pik, and by the Achronim, specifically the Gvura Sari, and others, that Tosis is explaining the Gemara in accordance with Rashi's second interpretation, and not Rashi's first interpretation. The only problem is that, again, Rishaya Pik on the margin points out, as well as the Gvura Sari more at length, that there's a parallel Gemara in Gidin Dav Lamed of an Aleph that has a very similar Shakla V'Tarya in a totally different context, which we're not going to get into now. But it also has that give and take of the Akun, Ma'u Detema Aknasa Milsei Kamash Malon. And it seems pretty clear from that Gemara that Gemara is much more consistent with Rashi's first interpretation, which parenthetically also seems to be the way the Rambam interpreted this Gemara. And that Gemara is incompatible with Rashi's second interpretation, which is also Tosis' interpretation. So that's what the Achronim leave Bitzorachian. How could Rashi in his second pshat and Tosis in the only pshat that they offer be inconsistent with the Gemara in Gittin? Tosis Maschil, Nara, Anara, Batzorto. This Tosis has quite a few Gersa changes, some from the Bach and some from the Oz V'Hodar, so we'll just note them quickly as we read through. And again, just to review briefly the context that Tosis is commenting on. The Gemara had pointed out that if there's a significant break in the rains of 40 days, that array indicates a makas batzores, some kind of drought that will lead to a food shortage. And the Gemara points out that there are two levels. There's batzores and there's ra'av. A batzores, which is a less emergency food shortage, less acute. And a rov is very acute, that could lead literally to starvation, and is much more dangerous. So the Gemara quotes the statement of Rav Nachman in trying to define various signs that indicate Batzores, and by contrast, other signs which indicate Rav. So the language of the Gemara, of Rav Nachman, in the very last line of Yetzes Mar Aleph, which is the Dira Maslov Tosis, Nara, Nara, Batzorta, Medinta, Amedinta, or Medinasa, Medinasa, Kafna. That from river to river, that's a Batzores, and from country to country, that is a famine. So here again, Rashi has two interpretations. One interpretation is that if this particular locale doesn't have crops, doesn't have food, but there's a city down the river that they can get food from, so that's Nara Nara. They could travel through the river from place to place in a ship and bring food, so that's a Batzores. But if there's no river connecting the area of places where there's food to areas where there is no food, that's Medinasa Medinasa. As you have to go from country to country through donkey drivers, so that's already a more intense rov. And Rashi's second shot is, it's a matter of the river is literally drying out. That if one spring dries out, and you have to divert a river from some other place, so that's a Batzores. But if all the rivers in the region dry out, then you have to literally carry water from another city, so that already indicates a rov or a kafna higher than a Batzores. So Tosis comments on this Gemara as well, and here he quotes Rashi's two interpretations. Tosis begin. Pirish. So we have in parentheses Hachi, and right away the Girsa people fill in various other words other than that, so we'll go with the approach of the Oz V'Hodr, which seems the smoothest. Pirish HaKontris. The Tosis is actually quoting Rashi. Again, as we noted earlier in a different shir, it seems as we move on in the Masechta, so Tosis seemed to be quoting Rashi more often. Earlier on in the Masechta, he seems to not quote Rashi, just say what Rashi says a lot of times on his own. Presumably didn't have Rashi, at least on the first half of the Masechta. So again, Pirsha Kontris, B'she'en Tvo B'ir, B'yesh Harbe, B'shara Yoros. There's no crops in this city, and there's much food in other cities. V'yachol N'havim Yisrael L'zoh, and you can bring it from one town to another, again through the river. Hainu Mikri Batzores. So that's called a Batzores. Velo Mikri Rav. And that's not called the higher level famine. So here the Bach changes the Vav to a Dalit. The Dalit of reason. Demi'achar Sheikhon Havi Al Dianar. Since you can bring it to the river. The Lekar La Tircha Zeira. There's only a small amount of effort that has to be exerted. Omehai. The Bach is in Milsa. And from this matter, or for this matter, meaning the small amount of tircha that's necessary to get food from another city, kolomar, meaning, midover mu'ot kazeh, from this small matter of exertion, ein masriyin, there's no need to immediately resort to the higher level fasting with shofar blowing. On the other hand, bidinasa medinasa, pirish, etzorach lahotzi mi medina la medina acheres, you have to go from one country to another, like de chamorim, the susim, through donkeys and horses. So then the Bach fills in, kafna. So then that is a famine, pirish. Again, another word he adds in. V'oz masriyin. And then you'll have the high-level fasting with fasting and shofar blowing and extra tefillos, etc. De'ir shalahavi b'shefa kol kach. Kemo b'sfinos. Because there it's impossible to bring with such bounty as you would be able to do with boats. And therefore, there's going to be very little food around, even if there is a market in which to get it, but it's going to take much longer to get and much shorter supplies so that'll lead to the higher level famine. So even though Tosis is really just quoting Rashi, but he does add in a significant line, and that is something Rashi did not explicitly comment on, but Oz Masriyin, meaning that the Shakla V'Tari of the Gemara, according to Tosis, and this probably would be the simplest reading, that the Mishnah had said that when you're worried about a serious food shortage, so you're right away going to resort to the higher level fasting of Masanin and Masriyin. Not only with the fasting, but also the extra tefillos and the shofar blowing. That's only going to be relevant for a Rav, for the higher level famine, but for a Batzores, so you wouldn't resort to the higher level fasting. Perhaps the lower level fasting, or maybe not fasting at all, maybe lower level, but not the higher level fasting. Aye, but the Mishnah says that if you have a break of rain for 40 days between rain and rain, so then that's a makas batzores, and we are engaging in the higher level fasting of Misan and Masriyin, so that's what Tosis is going to deal with in the continuation. That actually means something that could lead to Rav. But Tosa's assumption is that the discussion in the Gemara in defining Batsaris and Rav is that you only have the higher level fasting of Masana and Masriyan for Rav. And that's what he plugs into the Gemara, that Nara Nara only leads to Batsaris, and Medinasa Medinasa is even Rav, and therefore that's when you need the higher level fasting. So we'll see how Tosis Lishitaso has to explain the Mishnah according to that idea. Parenthetically, we note that the Ritva and other Rishonim understand this Gemara as just a matter of defining the terms. That in terms of the higher level fasting, we'll do so for Batsaris and for Rav. Not just for Rav, but also for lower level Batsaris. They're just trying to define the terminology of Batsaris and Rav. But Tosis does not go that way. He says that it's an afkamina la'alacha, that we only fast in the higher level Rav. And the Mishnah that says you seemingly that you do so for Batsaris too will have to be reinterpreted as we shall see. Now Tosis quotes Rashi's second understanding. Lamed Aleph Lishnachrina, an alternate understanding, Nara Nara Kolomer Yave Shanora Zeh. If this river dries up, Rashi said Mayon, the spring, okay. Bitzorach Lahosev Nor Acher, and you have to divert another river Lachan, right, some other river to this region, Inami. Alternatively, Tzorach Lahamtin, Achi Yigdal Nor Acher. You have to wait till that other river fills in with greater rains, presumably, or other sources, V'yavo b'chan, and then to come here to fill in the rivers here. Ze Batsaris, that's a Batsaris, the lower level. Below Masriyan, again, Tosla Shitasam, Rashi doesn't quote this directly. Below Masriyan, and you will not have the actual Trua, again, either Tfila, Shofar blowing. Dinasa, Dinasa, by contrast, Im Yavshu Kolan Aro Shebezoa here, if all the rivers dried up in this region of this city, Utsrichan Lahavi Mayim Ir Acheres, you have to literally carry water from one city to city, that, Kafno, that's already the high level Rav, and on that, Masriyan. So now, as we promised earlier, Tosis, who assumes that you only do the higher level fasting of Misanah and Masriyan for a Rav and not just for Batsaris, so what do we do with our Mishnah that seems to say you do so for Batsaris too? The Kasha, the Masnisan Mashma, the Batsaris, we have the Girsa Misanin, but the Bach changes it, quite correctly so, the Batsaris Masriyan, not only the fasting, but also the shofar blowing and the extra tefillahs. The Katani Masriyan Alein. Mipnei Shehi Makas Batsaris. Sounds like even for Batsaris, it's not a Rav. You still have the highest level fasting. So how could this Gemara have a whole discussion? What the Batsaris is and what the Rav is? For the whole purpose of when do we have the higher level fasting? Namely, only for the Rav. But you do so for Batsaris too, as our Mishnah states. So Tosus Lishitasam answer that we misread our Mishnah. Yesh Lomar, the Makas Batsaris, the Masnesin, Havi Kimo de Kafna. It doesn't mean a regular Batsaris. It's similar to Rav. It's similar to a famine, the higher level famine. It says Kasher Perashti. But since Tosus doesn't quite say anything earlier about that, so the Bach changes it to Kasher Piris Rashi. What does Rashi say in the Mishnah? We alluded to it briefly earlier on the first Tosis on the page. Shetachas chita yotzachoch. That instead of wheat, some kind of other growth comes out. I think Rashi's quoting some kind of pasuk that says that. Umishum hachi masriin. And because of that, we have to have the higher level fasting of not just Masanin, but also Masriyan, again, the shofar blowing of the tefillahs. Avagav dadayin eino bo. So here we have the gear, so avagav dadayin eino rak batsores. The Bach changes it with a little more the elaborate reading of avagav dadayin eino bo ra'ov ki im batsores. Even though a full-fledged famine didn't happen yet, there's only batsores as a result of the fact that the wheat changed to some kind of other growth. Hov is so for Rav, since it's destined to become a famine unless we shake up the heavens. So therefore, Masriyan. Therefore, we have to have the high level fasting right away. Avagav dakati lo havu kafna, even though it is not yet a famine. Aval olamein Masriyan al makas batsaris ilo motzi lovo lidei Rav. But we normally would not have the higher level fasting for a batsaris if it is not likely to convert into a famine. And that's why it says over here, the Nara Nara de Lohavi Ela Ki Batsorta is only a Batsaris. Yeah, this river dried up, but there are other rivers that could either be diverted here according to the second shot, or Nara Nara meaning you'll be able to get food from other cities upriver, Velomasrin. And therefore, there will not be higher level fasting. Because that, the case of Nara Nara, is the case of a Batsaris that will not lead to Ra'av. And it's only in the case of Medinta Medinta or Medinasa Medinasa that already is in imminent danger of Ra'av. So then we would have Masriyan. And similar in the Mishnah, where it calls it a Makas Batsaris, but it's the kind of situation where the wheat changed from Chita to Choach. So that already, even though right now it's Batsaris, but it is in danger of becoming a Ra'av. So again, in sum, when the Mishnah says Batsaris, it means a Batsaris that is likely to convert into a Ra'av, and that's why we're Masriyan right away. But a Batsaris that is unlikely to become a Ra'av, at least the way things stand now, then we have only regular Mis'anin. Again, or perhaps not Mis'anin at all. Tos doesn't elaborate on that specifically. A little bit of a Tzorach Ian, that the language of the Mishnah where it says it's a Makas Batsaris, it says it on Pasku Gishamim Ben Geshem L'Geshem Arboim Yom. In other words, the stopping of rain for 40 days. Tosis, in quoting Rashi Fshat on wheat changing to Choach, is on an earlier line in the Mishnah. Avot Tzmochem Sheshanu, Masriyan Alein Miyad, going on Tzmochem Sheshanu, that the plants changed. So how, in middle of his interpretation of the Mishnah that speaks about Makas Batsoris, which is presumably going on the case of the rains not falling for 40 days, how does Tosis quote Rashi's interpretation on the earlier line of the Mishnah that's talking about Tzmochem Sheshanu? So perhaps Tosis read as all one continuation. That both of those, maybe it should have said Shehen, Tzmochem Sheshanu and the 40-day break of the rain, both of those are Makas Batsoris. And Tosis meant something like V'chulei, that the case of the crops that change, Chita Techoach, is a concern of a Batsoris that will convert to Ra'av. And when rains don't fall for 40 days, it's a concern of a Batsoris that will convert to Ra'av. Tosis should have spelled all this out, so somewhat Tzorachim. Masechta Tainis, Tavyu Tesem Abeis, Tais to be Maschil, Nahirna. Gemara points out that Rabbi Yochanan states, Nahirna kadavu kaimi dalit soin misela vavanufishi nefiche kofon betveria midalesi sar. Some heavy Aramaic, which Tosis interprets. Also Rashi says the same thing. Pirish zocharani. We have zocharani. The margin changes it to zocharani. That Nahirna means, I recall, I remember. Rabbi Yochanan lived in Tveria at a certain point in his life, and he points out that there was a lot of food around, it was very cheap, but no one had any money to buy it. So there was tremendous famine and many who passed away from it, tragically. The Gemara points out, after discussing the fact that Masriyan, which again, according to Tosis' interpretation earlier, means high-level fasting together with shofar blowing and tefillas on trees, if there's not enough rain for them at a certain season, and for the cisterns, there's not enough rain to fill them, and if there's not enough water to drink, and then in the Braisa summarizes, V'chulan ein masriyan alein ela b'prachya shalein. Only in their prachya. What is the prachya? So Tosis interprets that to mean pirish ba'osa malchus, in that particular kingdom, which is also the way Rashi interprets. So this is in direct contrast with the perish that Rabbeinu Gershom gives, who interprets Eprachia in a different way. He states that Eprachia means Osan Shchunos. Those sounds like neighborhoods, sounds like a much more local area than the Malchus. Rabbeinu Chananel interprets Eprachia somewhat similarly, where he writes that Eprachia means Anche Mokom Bilvad, only the people live in that particular place. So even though these words of Tosis are very brief, as well the words of Rashi, this opens up a whole discussion in the Mishonim as to exactly the scope of what this Gemara is going on. When the Gemara says that we only have Masriyan, Ba'osa Prachya, which Rashi and Tosis interpret to mean Ba'osa Malchus, is that referring to all fasting for anything whatsoever? Even what's called a Makka Mehaleches, where you have things like what the Mishnah discusses about Shidofon and Yirokon, that could easily spread to other regions. Is that something that is only done by Osa Malchus? Or is it specifically going on the cases in our Gemara? Or what is insufficient rain for the trees? Or there's not enough water for the cisterns? So this is a major discussion that we've shown him, which is beyond the scope of what we're going to cover now. But this is an important tosis, again, mimicking the words of Rashi of Osa Malchus, but somewhat vague in terms of to what kinds of tragic events Tosis is referring to. Tells the Maschel Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Af alaylonos b'shvius, mipnei shiyesh behem parnosa l'aniyim. The words of Tosis are just a few lines, but are subject to a lot of analysis in order to properly understand their words and various important halachas that emerge from Tosis's brief words. To review the background of the Gemara that Tosis is commenting on, the Gemara had stated two different versions of a Braisa. Tana Rabbanan Masriyan Alilanos Bishar Shnei Shavua. And on the Ozvahadar they add in Avalobishvis. Even without that gear, so that's clearly what it means. That we have intense fasting for trees that are in danger of not growing properly, and all the other years of the Shemitah cycle, but not during Shemitah, because during Shemitah, so we're not so dependent on the fruits of the trees of Shemitah. But on the cisterns, if they don't have enough water, so that we're going to be Masri, and even on Shvius, you have to drink during Shemitah. That's the Tanakhama, that we don't have serious fasting for trees during Shemitah. Rav Shimon Gamliel, and this is the Maschil of Tosis, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Af alei lonos b'shvius, mipnei sheyesh ben parnosal aniyim, that even if somehow the rich are not really so dependent on the trees and the fruits of Shemitah, but the aniyim are, the poor are, and therefore, if they're not growing properly or in danger of not growing properly, so they have to be Masri and aleihem. Then there's another braisa that says practically the same words, but the way we have it in our Gemara is Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, instead of Afale Lonos B'Shvius B'nei Shem B'Sheish M'Avnos Lanim, but rather Afale Lonos Masriin, and then it continues Al Hasfichin B'Shvius M'Pnei Sheish M'Avnos Lanim. So the girsa we have is that in the second braisa, Rav Shimon Gamliel says that we're Masriin on the trees during Shemitah, and assuming there's a missing Vav, also on the Svichin during Shemitah. We'll see what the Svichin are in the context of the Tosis. If you read it without the Vav, we actually don't have a Vav in our Gemara, and it could be that we are Masriin on the trees, and that which grows in the trees are called Svichin during Shemitah, and again, the reason being, Bnei Shem, Yeshma, Pranosalani. So much in terms of the background of the Gemara. So now Tosis has the following comment. Again, the Dibur Maschil, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Af alei lonos b'shvius, b'nei shen, yesh ben parnosal aniyim. Tos does not quote the phrase, al hasfichin. So it sounds like, as some of the commentaries want to note, that either he didn't have the second version of the Braisa, or he's commenting on the first version of the Braisa. But as we shall see, some of the Achronim explain that he's actually going on the second Braisa, and he's just saying it b'kitzer. So now, Tos's words are as follows. Pirish, what does Rav Shimon Gamliel mean? Heim asvichim ayotzim mehem. Those are the svichim that are going out of them. What is the out of them? Well, in the Divya Maskel of Tosis, he mentioned Ilanos, trees. So Tosis seemingly is interpreting that which comes out of the trees during Shemitah, without working the trees and without working the land, are called svichim. Now, that is an unusual phraseology, because svichim, as those who've learned a little bit about the laws of Shemitah, Baruch Hashem, when it's Shemitah year here in Eretz Yisrael, know that svichim normally refers to vegetables or crops that grow by themselves in the ground. It doesn't usually refer to fruits that grow on trees. But here Tosis is using the term svichim somewhat atypically as referring to the fruits that grow from the trees. Because of the fact that this is an atypical usage of that term, the Chazon Ish in Simach of Beis, Siv Katan Dalid in his treatment of Shvius, suggests that the Tos is going on the second Braisa, even though he didn't state it in the Dibur Maschil, the word Svichim, but that's why he's using the unusual phraseology, because the Braisa used the unusual phraseology. And again, to recall, we don't have a Vav in our Braisa. It says, Alei Lonos Masriin, Ala Svichin Mishvius. Without a Vav, to indicate that the Ala Svichim is a modification of the previous phrase of Alei Lonos. So the Chazon Ish understands that the Tosis was commenting on that second Braisa, and the Braisa is using the term Svichim to refer to the fruits that grow by themselves. Again, we mentioned earlier that Svichim usually refers to vegetables and crops that grow by themselves from leftover seed from the sixth year. So by extension, it can refer to fruits that grow by themselves, even though that is not the typical way the word is used. Be that as it may, whether Tosis is just on his own using unusual phraseology, or is getting it because he's commenting on the second Braisa, but the direct implication is, and that's what Tosis is going to say now, that it's only on the tree growth that we will be Masriya on during Shemitah. And that is because the poor will be supported from it. Now, Tosis the following diuk, that had it been Svichim of vegetables or other seeds that grow from the ground, that we would not be Masriya on, we would not fast and blow the shofar and daven for, even according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, because there would be no need to. And why? So Tos explains, because they're going to be Aser. It's Aruch Lomar, and one has to say, the Savar, the Disra of Shimon Gamliel holds, Kemanda Omar, like the one who holds Himsachim Dafnunam Alev Mabes, Sviche Zroim Aser, that the seeds that grow from the ground automatically are Aser. The Haina Rabbi Akiva, and that's the Tana Rabbi Akiva, and that's why you're not going to be Masri on it, because You're not going to be masriach chalil on pork. It's treif. So obviously you're not going to be masriach on a shortage of non-kosher food. So svichim are not kosher. Svich is roim aser. So obviously we're not going to be masriach on them that they should grow bountifully in order that people should eat not kosher. And how does Tosfos know that this Gemara is going like that opinion? So the diak that we said earlier, me the kamar, from the fact that it says alei lanos, and on trees you have masan and masriyan. Velo kamar al hasvichim, meaning on the svichim of seeds. Even though Tosfos used the term svichim earlier, but there he meant the svichim, the fruits that grow automatically from the trees. But classic svichim, meaning svichim vegetables, crops that grow automatically, that would be asur. So now, I just note that it would have been possible, if not for the words of the Chazon Ish, that Tosfos either is commenting on the first version of the Braisa that has Rav Shimon Gamliel not commenting at all on Svichim, but that according to the second Braisa that it says that Masri and Al Svichim, that would hold the Svichim are actually Mutter, more about that in a moment, or that Tosfos didn't have the second Braisa altogether, which some of the Achronim actually suggest, and that therefore, Tosfos ben Gedaik, from the fact that Rav Shimon Gamliel only has us being masriya and davening and fasting for the growth from trees and not for the things that grow by themselves during Shemitah, vegetables and crops, because those are usher like Rabbi Akiva. But either way, Tosfos is certainly interpreting at least one of the brises, if not both of the brises, that Rav Shimon Gamliel is banning Svichim during Shemitah. And that is in accordance with the vision of Rabbi Akiva, as Tosfos quotes in the Gemara Masechet that Nun Aleph on the base. The problem with this Tosfos, as noted by the Chazon Ish and others, is that seemingly everyone holds Svichim is aser. The Gemara, Nun Aleph Amud Beis, at least the simplest reading of it, is that there's a machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and his colleagues as to whether or not Svichim are aser min HaTorah, crops that grow by themselves during Shemitah. And according to that, it's derived from a pasuk, which is the view of Rabbi Akiva, or they're only aser the Rabbanan, which is the view of the Rabbanan, as a safeguard to make sure that people would not plant during Shemitah, of course against the prohibition of Malacha during Shemitah, and claim that it grew by itself. So in order to make a safeguard against Ivri Avera, against sinners, so the Chachamim banned even the produce that grew by itself, so this way no one would be able to plant and claim that it grew by itself. So therefore it's only us that are upon him. And that's actually the psak that is commonly maintained. So the Chazon Ish and other Achronim ask, on this Tosfos, why is Tosfos saying that Rav Shimon Gamliel, again, subject to the analysis we had earlier, that we're medayik from his words, that we're only davening for the fruits that grow from the trees. But we're not davening for the svichim, meaning svichim of grains or seeds, because the svichim are aser, like Rabbi Akiva, who holds the svichim are aser, meaning the svichim are aser in the Torah. So I asked the Achronim, but if you hold svichim are aser derabanan, so treif derabanan is also treif. So why would you daven for treif derabanan, that it should have, you should have bounty of non-kosher food, the Rabbanan during Shemitah, so that the Aniyim should be able to eat it. The Aniyim cannot eat not kosher food. So to this, there are two approaches. One is the Chazon Ish, and one based on one of the other Balei HaTosis, the Rash, on Masechet Shviyos. And as explicitly stated by the Gra and the Shnois Elio, is commentary on Masechet Shviyos. The Chazon Ish explains, based on a passage in the Talmud Yerushalmi, actually in our Masechet Tainis, that without getting involved in all the details of that Gemara, the Gemara discusses a possibility, according to Rebbe or Yudanasi, that in a time of famine, a time of extreme economic hardship, that maybe we'll be makel on svichim. And if we would be makel on svichim, then there's room to daven that the svichim should grow well. Indeed, the Yerushalmi actually quotes machlokas about this very point, as to whether we daven for the svichim, namely the svichim of the Tvuah and the Zroyim, during Shemitah. One opinion is that we do, and the other is that we don't. The Rishalmi seems to go even further, and maybe we'll be makel, perhaps even to plant during Shemitah. And even if we're not going to be makel so far, but to actually allow planting, but that will give the Aniyim who do that to plant during Shemitah pass, and we're not going to ban their produce that grew. So according to that, says the Chazon Ish, if Yael Svichim was the Rabbanan, then there would have been room in a time of famine to daven for those Svichim, because it might even be mutter to plant them. And all the more so to eat that which grew by itself during Shemitah, and that rabbinic prohibition would be lifted in the times of famine. And that's exactly what we're talking about. We're fasting when there's some kind of danger of there not being enough food for people to eat. So that's why Tosfos had to say that Rav Shimon Gamliel, who's only davening for the fruit of the trees and not for the svichim that grow from the ground, meaning the vegetables and the other crops, and there's no heterim here whatsoever to eat it, must be Hozek Rabbi Akiva, that the Isra Svichim, meaning regular vegetable and crop Svichim, is an Isra in a Torah, and therefore even in times of famine it would be prohibited to eat it unless we're dealing with Pikuach Nefesh Mamish, where people are Chalil in danger of literally starving to death. That is the way the Chazon Ish interprets our Tosis. An alternate approach can be taken in explaining this Tosis based on one of the other Balei HaTosis, the Rashmi Shantz. In his commentary on Masechta Shvius, Perek Tes, Mishnah Aleph, the standard interpretation of that Mishnah is that basically Svichim are Aser. Either the Rabbanan or the Raisa, but they're Aser. But there is a Mahalach that the Rash gives that the Kubit is a Machlokis Tanoim as to whether or not Svichim are Aser altogether. And that ultimately concerning Svichim, there are three opinions. And that one opinion is that Svichim are Aser in a Torah. That's Rabbi Akiva. And the ones who argue on Rabbi Akiva split into two camps. One camp holds it's Aser Rabbanan, as we said earlier. But another opinion is
not that they hold the Svichim are Aser Rabbanan, but they hold it totally mutter.
The Rash quotes our Gemara that in the second version of the Braisa, there he has the Girsa Rashba instead of Rav Shimon Gamliel, namely Rav Shimon ben Elozar, that af ala Svichin bashvius, that we also are Masriyan, meaning we fast and blow shofar and daven on the Svichim and Shvius. And the Rash interprets that version of the Braisa, again the position in his girsa of Rav Shimon ben Elozar, rather than Rav Shimon Gamliel, as literally the svichim, the vegetables and grains that grow from the ground, and we will be masriya on them. So the Rash says that you see from that opinion that is at least one opinion in the Tanoim that svichim are totally mutter, and there was no even gzera the Rabbanim made against them.
And if you hold like that, and if we should assume that Tosis is going with the approach of that suggestion given by the Rash,
that there is a view that Svichim are totally mutter, and there was no Gzera Derabanan, and with one additional assumption, that Tosis would maintain that there are only two views rather than three views, that Rabbi Akiva holds that Svichim are Osim in HaTorah, and Chachamim hold that Svichim are totally mutter. Such an idea that there are only two views, and that there is no third view that Svichim are Aser Derabanan, is actually stated explicitly, as we mentioned briefly earlier, by the Shnos Elio, the commentary of the Gra on Masechta Shvius. So if we should assume all of that,
then Tosis' words could be read in a totally different way. Rav Shimon Gamliel is only davening during Shemitah for the Ilanos, the fruits of the trees, and not for the Svichim, meaning the crops and the vegetables that grow from the ground. The Tosis say that goes like Rav Akiva. Well, Svichim Rasa Min HaTorah. Had you argued on Rabbi Akiva, you would have held that Svichim not are Rasa Derabanan, but they're totally mutter. And if they're totally mutter, so then why wouldn't we daven for a proliferation and an extra growth of those Svichim? So the fact that Rav Shimon Gamliel only has us davening and fasting, etc., and blowing shofar for the fruits of the tree and not for the Svichim that grow from the ground must be held as Aser like Rabbi Akiva and not like a Chacham holds totally mutter.
Such an interpretation seems to be explicitly mentioned by the aforementioned Gra in his commentary Shnos Elio.
Again, lahalacha, we paskin that those who argue in Rabbi Akiva, namely the Chachamim, hold the Svichim Aser Derabanan. But there is such an opinion. When I first saw this, I thought it was wild. I'd never heard such an opinion before. But there is such an approach. It's also was popularized by the Gra, and later by his Talmud, the Pasa Shulchan, and trying to interpret the words of his great Rebbe, the Gra, that there is an approach to read the Mishnayos and the Gemaras, that there is an opinion that Svichim are totally mutter.
And it could very well be that this other opinion is alluded to by our Tosis, who pins the Isra Svichim, which was the assumption of Rav Shimon Gamliel, on the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. And that the Chachamim of Rabbi Akiva would indeed hold that Svichim are mutarim. In sum, according to the Chazon Ish, Tosis is attributing Rav Shimon Gamliel's view that we're only davening for the fruits during Shemitah and not for the Svichim of crops and vegetables and the like, on the view of Rabbi Akiva, because according to Rabbi Akiva, Svichim Rasim in a Torah.
And as a result, the Svichim will only be mutter in a case of Pikoch Nefesh Mamish, where there's imminent danger to life, and would not be mutter in a standard case of a Ra'ov, where there's a scarcity of food, but there's no actual danger to life.
According to the Chachamim, that the Ras Derabanan, there would have been room in times of famine to daven for the Svichim, because then the Svichim would have been mutter, based on the view of Rebbe and the Rishalmi.
According to the other approach we presented, based on the Rash, and as stated explicitly by the Gra, The reason that Tosis associates the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel, they were only davening for the fruits of the trees and not for the svichim of the crops and vegetables, on the view of Rabbi Akiva, that svichim rasam in the Torah, is that those who argue on Rabbi Akiva, namely the Chachamim, might very well hold that svichim are totally mutter. And if they're totally mutter, then we would daven for those as well during Shemitah.